What's up, everybody? This is episode 16 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. Texas Pinball Festival is coming up soon. Welcome to Wayne's World. All right, so the game list for the Wizards Tournament, quote-unquote, was released a couple days ago, and the Wizards Tournament is it's a pretty cool format. So a lot of the tournaments that are pretty big are what's called a pump and dump, and so that means there's X number of games, and you have to play X number of games to qualify. If you play in our Tucson Super League, you know exactly what it's like. Well, the Texas tournament is set up so that there's actually a limited number of entries that you can get. So you purchase an admission to that tournament, and then I think, again, it's only 20 plays. Last year was 20. It started off at 30, and then they were like, we don't know if we're going to be able to fit in all the games or get, you know, everybody to get through all 30 plays, so they capped it at 20. And I don't know, but I could go through 30 plays just as easily as I went through 20 plays and probably not get as far as I wanted. So either way, whatever. It's still a cool format. It's a good tournament. And they have it set up in another unique way, or interesting way. I don't know if it's exactly unique, but they have Modern, Solid State, and EMs. And so there's 12 games, and now I'm looking at my notes, and I forgot to put how many actually count. But they give you a good range of machines to go try to qualify on, because you are obviously not going to want to spend one ticket on every machine and then double up on some of them, because that doesn't give you a very good chance of actually getting into the points. Or into high enough points to make a difference. So, let's see. I broke down what the game list is, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to post up a video or something usable on the Facebook page. I'm going to try for one a day, but we'll see how it goes. And because TPF doesn't start until March 24th, and so we have a few days, and if I do one a day, we'll still have plenty of time for a little cram session later on, but, you know, if I do one a day, I'll be able to post something about every single game. So anyways, here's the list. So in the moderns, we have Scared Stiff, Indy 500, Metallica Premium, and Ghostbusters Premium. And the presence of premium machines is actually kind of interesting, because that's not something you see in very many events. Like, you'll see them at the shows for sure. I mean, there was last year there was a KISS LE on the floor, there was a Game of Thrones LE, I don't think there was a premium. You had various other games that had the non-standard editions. I think there was maybe a Hobbit LE, and then there might have been a Wizard of Oz LE as well. I think there was a Ruby Red there. Either way, it doesn't matter. So those are the four moderns, and in the Arizona scene, we've played Scared Stiff at ZapCon recently, and we play Indy 500 when we go to Mark's house for various events, so we've at least got some time on that. Now, Metallica, we don't really have in Tucson, especially a premium, but the only differences that I can think of there are the coffin locks. So there's a magnet with a hammer that smashes the ball under the playfield, and then it releases them somehow. So that's something to be looked at. But other than that, we played Metallica at ZapCon last year as well. We played a Pro Edition that was set up really hard. But there's plenty of videos about that. Ghostbusters Premium, same thing. We've got a Ghostbusters on location at TISC, and we have plenty of experience on the Pro version. The premium, there's a few differences. There's the Magna Slings, which instead of the slingshots, there is a single switch on where the slingshots actually are. And then there's a honkin' magnet underneath each slingshot area, and it acts kind of like the power. You touch the switch, and it'll trigger that, and even during some modes, probably they have those magnets going. So we'll have to research that a little bit. But all in all, you know, and the right ramp, it feeds across the playfield into the left in lane, as opposed to like on the Pro, where both ramps feed into the right. So, you know, but again, there's going to be plenty of videos available, and it's not a layout that's new to us anyways. So moving into the solid states, we have Dr. Dude, which D&D used to have and is one of my favorite solid state games. We have Joker Poker, which is an amazing game and is on my want list. We have Black Hole, which is on the Pinball Arcade, and that is one that's kind of a make or break type of game where if you go down into the lower play field, you better light the whatever the oxygen save or whatever it is, because when you go back up to the upper play field, if you don't light that, it just shoots it right down the outlane for you. And then Big Game, which I don't know that I've ever played. I've definitely seen the back glass plenty of times because it's got pretty cool art, but I don't think I've ever played that. So those are all machines that hopefully there's videos out there, and we'll definitely get some info on that posted. On the EM side, we have, and I know nothing about, two of these games. I think I've played the third one. Anyways, so we have Hit the Deck, which is one that I'll have to watch videos on and study, and who knows what's going on there. Olympic Hockey, which I don't know why I haven't heard of that one, because if you've ever played at TISC, well, at least not up until recently, but if you'd played in the past, you'd know that I have an ice fever that used to be there. I'm a hockey person, and I don't know that I've ever heard of that one. So, again, have to research that one. So there's a Jack's Open, which I think I've seen the back glass. I don't remember the layout. And then there's 4 Million BC, which is a game that is super awesome. It has zipper flippers, zipper 2-inch flippers. And zipper flippers, what that does is you can hit various targets. You know, every game's different, and there's several games with these zipper flippers. But it'll actually close them and flatten them out so that you basically cannot drain down the center. So you only have the outlines open. But if you hit another one of the targets, it might open them up. I played a couple games at Pinburg that actually had zipper flippers that I had never even heard of. But my Joust machine that might get finished sometime ever and ever, who knows, whatever. That has zipper flippers. So I'm familiar with the concept. I'm actually really familiar with the mech that runs it because it's, you know, it's something that I've got and have taken apart. Zipper flippers are super cool. And 4 Million BC, I played at Replay FX, aka Pinburg, last year in the free play area. And it's awesome because it's an EM. It's a four-player EM. Pretty sure it's four-player. With a three-ball multi-ball. Yes, how cool is that? So, and I know there's videos of that one available. So here's where we're going to find our information. So pinballvideos.com does a great job of pulling YouTube videos and various other sources. I think Vimeo is the other major source that they pull from. So we're definitely going to lean heavy on that. We're going to try to link in a lot of those videos. Probably won't link straight into the pinballvideos.com link. We'll just link straight to the YouTube video. But don't kid yourself. I'm looking there first for YouTube links, and I will prefer tutorials over straight gameplay, but if I can only find gameplay, that's what we have. The other thing is pintips.net, and I don't really want to post that up unless it's the only thing I can find for that game. But pintips.net, you should have it on your phone when you're at a tournament, just in case you play a game that you've never played or aren't super familiar with, because you can go on there and it's just like it's shorter than Twitter, which I don't really use Twitter, but it's like one or two sentences per tip, and it's user-submitted stuff. So I can't even think of one off the top of my head, but I know I had it on like every game that I've never seen at Pinburg, and I just, you know, as soon as I saw the sheet and as soon as I saw what game we're starting on, that's where I looked. As soon as the game was over, I moved on to the next game, pintips.net, boom, here's, you know, three tips, and, you know, that. Sometimes knowing something is better than knowing nothing. So that's where we're going to be pulling from for those sources. There's also going to be several manufacturers represented there, and let's go through a couple of those. So we've got Spooky Pinball. They're going to have Domino's and Jetsons in their area. Funny thing is that neither one of those are quote-unquote in-house games. Those are both contract manufacturer games. Jetsons was just announced here a couple weeks ago now. But looks like a pretty simple layout, but fun, and knowing what they do, or have done anyways, with both Domino's and Rob Zombie, Fosma is doing a great job at coding stuff, so I'm sure Jetsons will be awesome. It's a single ramp game, plenty of stand-up targets. And looking at the playfield artwork, there's a couple multi-balls in there that are really cool, and will definitely bring you back to watching those episodes for sure. Stern's going to be there. Oh, yeah. So, Spooky, I was looking at the events page, and I don't see a talk session listed, even though I swear they've said that they will have a talk on the podcast. There's a Dennis Norman, Greg Freres, and Cassandra Peterson kind of Q&A panel, if you will. And Charlie, the owner of Spooky Pinball, is moderating that. But I thought there was something else. But I'm not seeing it on the events page. But either way, I'll be checking in on that because I love listening to what those guys are doing. And they're a funny bunch, so they're always entertaining. So Stern won't necessarily be there with a booth, but Marcos was there last year. And they last year they had the Spider-Man Vault Edition, and they had Ghostbusters, and let's see, and they also had Game of Thrones. Those were the games they had. They had four units set up, and I can't remember what they had doubled up. I think they had a Game of Thrones Premium and then a Game of Thrones Pro. And then they were actually streaming on Twitch. They were streaming the Ghostbusters gameplay because that was very early reveal time frame for them. So yeah, this year Marcos is going to have Aerosmith Pro probably at the minimum, and then they'll have a couple other games, of course. Highway, I don't think Highway will. Let's see, I'm trying to remember what I was reading about Highway. If they have a booth or if they just have like a vendor or distributor that will have a booth with their game, anyways. But Highway Pinball, they're based out of the UK. They did Full Throttle, which was there last year. Oh yeah, Coin Ticker had the two or three Full Throttles last year, and they also had the Big Lebowski set up. So Coin Ticker, I'm almost certain, will have a couple Alien machines set up. Highway has said they will be there, so Alien's going to be there, whether it's a Highway booth or a part of the Coin Ticker booth. That's going to be there. That looks like a super cool game. They just started shipping. Like, I think they literally have shipped two units at this point. There's one in Pennsylvania or Maryland or somewhere, like landed in Pennsylvania, whatever. And then there's another one in Madison, Wisconsin. And the game looks really cool. There's a lot of options, too many options for how they have everything set up. So it's way too confusing for now. But Alien's going to be there. It looks really cool. I'm really excited to get a chance to play that game because who knows what's going to be available locally. So, you know, you play these games at the shows because those may be your only opportunities to do that. So, P3, and that's, if let's see, where were they? They were at Replay last year, and I think they were at Texas as well. Yeah, they were at Texas as well. Anyways, so P3 Multimorphic has a game. They also do the P-Rock boards, so the pinball controllers. I think it's pinballcontrollers.com is their actual webpage because they've been doing the P-Rock boards for longer than I think any of their other products. But P3 Multimorphic is going to be there with their machine. They have set up a facility to start manufacturing those. It's a really cool concept. It's not exactly traditional because they have, the way it's set up is they have like a touchscreen on the lower two-thirds of the playfield area, and then they have the slingshots and the flippers are actually, they're mounted so that they come out up above the screen area, and then the upper third is a swappable mechanical area. So the game's designed to have a very modular system. So the upper third is something that is replaceable and it's programmable, and the bottom third, it's a touch screen, so it'll be able to track the ball, which the actual ball tracker portion of it is really cool because it's got kind of like this streaked effect to it. But it's basically all you have to do is replace that upper third and you can have a new game. And even with the upper third staying the same as whatever the factory stock configuration is, you know, you can make it work in different ways and stuff like that. So It looks like a really cool setup. It's not cheap, but they haven't taken any money. You know, pre-order is a very dirty word in the pinball hobby, but tarnished at this point. Maybe not so much dirty, but it looks cool. And it's done the show tour many, many years now. Not many, but like, I don't even remember when they started. But at least 3 years, I think, that I've been paying attention to it. So it's cool to see that finally coming out, and you know, looking forward to seeing what they present. Dutch Pinball, makers of The Big Lebowski, they are supposed to have a 1 hour seminar session time. I don't know if they're gonna have a booth. CoinTaker has been bringing around two show machines for a couple years now, so I would almost expect that to be there. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think it's been announced either way which one or if they are going to have them there or not. But I do know that Dutch is supposed to be making some sort of a presentation in the seminar area. JJP won't have an official representation, but distributors in the past have brought machines, and it's been confirmed that there's two separate distributors that will be bringing a combination, not even a combination, but a collective of all three of the machines. So Dialed In is going to be there. There's going to be two there. They're shooting for a third one, and then a couple versions of The Hobbit, and I believe Wizard of Oz will be there as well. So that's a rundown of all the various manufacturers, and let's see if we can switch over to the event list without things breaking. So let's see. Let's go up to the top here, because there's a couple things that stood out on the calendar that weren't necessarily manufacturer announcements. So, American Pinball, they are going to be presenting on Friday at 8 p.m., and those guys are making the Houdini machine, which was originally going to be a J-Pop design, and they recently put out the 19 or 25 Magic Girls that have been kind of mythical unicorns up until this point. So they're gonna have a presentation. They have a 1 hour time slot. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing, so might tune into that one. Let's see. Game room closes at 1 a.m. Man, that's awesome. I think we shut the place down at least two of the nights. Let's see. There's a swap meet, which if you're looking for project machines or parts even, I think we missed that last year because it's at 8 a.m. and all the good stuff was picked clean by the time we got there. We slept in a little bit on Saturday. Let's see. There's the Multimorphic seminar, noon on Saturday. Let's see. So here's an interesting one. Is there's going to be an autograph and photo op session with Cassandra Peterson. She is Elvira. And it's the first time that Elvira, Dennis Nordman, and Greg Freras, who did the game design and art respectively, on the Elvira and the Party Monsters machine, and possibly Scared Stiff. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But it's the first time those three are going to be at a show together, and it's a pretty heavy rumor that they're going to be announcing an Elvira 3 in some title fashion. It's assumed that it's going to be another Whiz Bang production, which Greg Freras actually works for Stern Pinball. Dennis Nordman is a contract employee, freelancer. He'll work for whoever he likes. And Cassandra is very open to having another pinball machine. So having the three of them there, it's pretty heavily rumored that they're going to be revealing the third Elvira machine. And Whiz Bang had their stuff made by Stern. They did the Wonelli big juicy melons, and then the Pabst Blue Ribbon Can Crusher machine is actually a retheme of that layout. So those three will be there, and you know, let's see, it was 2 o'clock on Saturday is when their seminar is going to be. So that's not a very, I mean, there's some worst kept secrets in pinball, but holy smokes, is that one staring right at you. So Dutch has a seminar, Highway has a seminar, Jersey Jack has a seminar. That's 3, 4, and 5 p.m. on Saturday. Stern Pinball Update. Those are always interesting, because there's a little bit of a thin ice situation, in my opinion, with Stern. And sometimes Gary just kind of gives it to you bluntly, and sometimes they don't. So we'll see, you know, production update, who's doing their play fields and stuff like that. That's the biggest reason why I'm just kind of completely staying away with any of their new inbox stuff right now, just because it's been very, it's a roll of the dice. You know, the odds are pretty good in your favor, but man, that's such a bummer to see pictures of somebody opening up a box and there's, you know, issues that should not have been there. 8 p.m. on Saturday is something that I've actually been looking forward to for a long time. It's a documentary called Things That Go Bump in the Night, The Spooky Pinball Story. It's about a year and a half in the making. They had a small show in Wisconsin here about a month ago, 2 months ago. And I'm looking forward to seeing that because I saw the preview and it looks pretty cool. So I want to say there was something else in here that I wanted to talk about. There's an encore of that at 10 a.m. the next morning. And the Best in Show Awards was actually pretty cool. I got to stand next to Jack Danger and we chatted a little bit as they were doing those. And that's always cool. A little bit of recognition for some folks that did a lot of hard work on either their games or, you know, restoration or even just efforts going all around. So that's kind of it. Let's see. Episode 17 is already basically done because it's going to be nothing but a project update because there's a pretty big update that I would like to put out there. And yeah, so that's kind of it. Till then, party on, everybody.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
And we're clear.